Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A very good morning to you and welcome to this edition of Africa Link on Thursday, the 29th of January. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, conflict in Africa is set to top the agenda of the AU summit in Addis Ababa.
We are deeply horrified by the tragedy Boko Haram continues to inflict on our people.
And the opposition in Zimbabwe says President Mugabe should recall troops deployed to Equatorial Guinea for the Africa Cup of Nations.
If the president deploys defense forces of Zimbabwe outside Zimbabwe and even in Zimbabwe, they must promptly inform parliament.
And of course, we won't forget the latest results from the Cup of Nations. Stay tuned.
Top story.
African leaders meet in Addis Ababa on Friday and Saturday for an African Union summit. They face a packed agenda ranging from the deployment of a regional force to fight the Boko Haram insurgency to Ebola and the unrest in Central African Republic and South Sudan. Here's Eunice Wanjiru with a report by Lutka Shadomsky.
AU Chief Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma has chosen the Boko Haram Islamic terror in northern Nigeria and Africa's military response to it as the main topic for the summit to be held in Addis Ababa. The heads of state will discuss on the deployment of regional troops of about 3,000, which should include soldiers of the affected countries Nigeria, Niger, Benin, Chad and Cameroon.
We are deeply horrified by the tragedy Boko Haram continues to inflict on our people, kidnapping young girls from school, torching villages, terrorizing whole communities, and killing a localized group. Now we see it further into West Africa and into Central Africa. Time to act is now, and to act collectively against this progressive threat.
But the African standby force that has been on the agenda for years is still not operational. Judy Vorrath from the Science and Politics Foundation in Berlin criticizes the build-up of a second task force as a parallel structure, the so-called African Capacity for Immediate Response to Crisis.
A separate force, which is not integrated in this larger context, should be formed. They are now looking for a quick alternative, which they can bring to action as fast as possible. But how realistic it is to systematically deploy within the AU and under the Peace and Security Council, it is hard to say. It seems they are running out of an ad hoc solution.
Another topic on the agenda in Addis is the long-term crisis in South Sudan. Though the rivals Riek Machar and Salva Kiir signed a peace deal in time for the summit, hardly anyone believes in lasting peace. Solomon Derso is from the Institute of Security Studies.
If the behavior of the parties thus far is anything to go by, one would be very reasonable to assume that it may not change the situation that much. The actors have signed a number of agreements within the framework of the IGAD mediation process. Agreements, nevertheless, that they end up breaching soon after signing those agreements. So the signing of the agreement by itself alone doesn't really tell us that much about the future and prospect of peace in South Sudan.
And that report was written by Lutka Shadomsky. Figures just released by the United Nations say more than 14,000 people fleeing Boko Haram violence have sought refuge in Chad over the last 4 weeks. The Boko Haram insurgency has spread beyond Nigeria's borders, but that country is still insisting it can master the problem on its own, even though 5 years of violence would suggest a different interpretation. So, with the African Union poised to discuss a regional intervention force, is Nigeria likely to change its stance? Assumpta Lata's put that question to John Campbell, a former U.S. ambassador to Nigeria.
Nigeria continues to believe that it can defeat Boko Haram inside Nigeria itself, and it cooperates or seeks to cooperate with the three adjoining states where Boko Haram has carried out operations. That is to say, Cameroon, Niger, and Chad. I have seen no evidence or indication of Nigerian receptivity to some kind of multinational force in Nigeria fighting against Boko Haram. Nigeria is an extremely powerful African state, particularly in the AU context. And so I would question whether, in fact, this proposal will become a centerpiece of the AU meeting. I think the Nigerians will block it.
Well, the AU head of states are preparing to start their annual summit. Topping the agenda is the deployment of 3,000 regional troops. Do you think that Nigeria is going to accept that?
No, I don't. And further, I would question whether or not, in fact, the proposal will ever get formalized. I don't think a proposal to establish a force of 3,000 troops by the AU to fight against Boko Haram in Nigeria will ever become a formal proposal that is voted on or acted on by the AU.
A lot of people, thousands of people, have been killed in Nigeria. Isn't it time for Nigeria to admit that it needs help?
I think so, yes. But the Nigerians do not. And there is a further dimension to this, and that is, yes, thousands have been killed by Boko Haram, but thousands have also been killed by the Nigerian security services. And there have been credible accusations by groups such as Amnesty International of Nigerian security service human rights abuses.
John Campbell, former US ambassador to Nigeria. You're listening to Africa Link, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says it has secured the release of 3,000 child soldiers from a rebel group in South Sudan. The children were with the South Sudan Democratic Army Cobra faction, based in the Pibor region of Jonglei State and led by warlord David Yao Yao. I asked John Budd, a spokesman for UNICEF in South Sudan, what was now being done to help the children.
They were taken to an interim care centre that UNICEF has established in the little village of Gumuruk, and they will be taken care of there. Firstly, they'll be given shelter, obviously, food and water. They'll be given a medical examination and provided with any psychosocial support that they require. And we will also register them and start the tracing process back to their families and community.
Now, South Sudan has been immersed in a civil war for more than a year. Finding their parents is going to be a very difficult task, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is within a very terrible environment. But in this instance, we are positive that we will be able to do our best and get most of these children back into their family. And the reason we can say that is that because in the interviews that we've had with the children in the preparation for their release, most of them said that they'd seen a family member recently. So in this situation, it is not a case where the children were used against their own communities. They were in fact used by the armed group to defend their communities. So there is still a remaining attachment.
How widespread is the use of child soldiers in the current conflict in South Sudan?
Our figures have just over 12,000 children in the various factions being used as soldiers.
Are they fighting both for government and rebel forces?
Both. The government SPLA forces have given us an assurance that it's their intention, and I think that to reduce the number of children to zero in their forces. We have also called on the opposition forces to do likewise.
And how hopeful are you that those remaining child soldiers will be released soon?
We're hopeful that all those children will be released within the next few weeks. Let's say 6 weeks to 2 months at the outside, because they're going to be released in a phased way and in different locations through Jonglei province or state. That we're very confident will continue because the Cobra faction has made peace with the government SPLA forces. On the other ones, we have to just be hopeful we're trying to be realistic and we're trying to advocate to all the various factions that they should release as soon as possible. But a lot of it will depend on, of course, the peace talks and the negotiations at a political level.
John Budd, spokesman for UNICEF in South Sudan. Next to Zimbabwe, where the opposition has introduced a motion in Parliament declaring action taken by President Robert Mugabe unconstitutional. The opposition is objecting to Mugabe's deployment of Zimbabwean government troops to Equatorial Guinea to boost security during the ongoing Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The opposition says this happened without Parliament's authority. From Harare, Columbus Mafunga reports.
Opposition MP Fungai Jesima Jome, who heads Zimbabwe's Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Affairs, wants the soldiers who were deployed to Equatorial Guinea earlier this month to be recalled. Majome talked to journalists after she had tabled her motion in Parliament.
If the president deploys defense forces of Zimbabwe outside Zimbabwe and even in Zimbabwe, they must promptly inform Parliament in detail of the deployment and the reasons thereof. It shows, I think, the lack of seriousness that the executive, the ruling ZANU-PF government has. It doesn't take seriously at all the constitution. It does not take Parliament seriously.
In the early 2000s, Mugabe unilaterally sent the army to Democratic Republic of Congo to fight alongside President Joseph Kabila's soldiers against rebels in the eastern part of the diamond-rich country. Parliament had not authorized that deployment, and the exercise drained Zimbabwe's resources. Analysts say that accelerated the fall of Zimbabwe's economy. This time, the government says soldiers in Equatorial Guinea are being fully funded by President Teodoro Obiang Nguema's government. Daniel Shumba is an MP from President Mugabe's ZANU-PF party. He has vowed to tear apart the opposition's motion to have Zimbabwe soldiers recalled.
The military, in its exercise of duties, has a number of things that they do that do not require the sanctioning of Parliament, nor even our law does not necessarily provide that any activity that the military undertakes becomes an act of war, purely because they are soldiers.
As the debate raged in Parliament, President Mugabe was preparing to leave for the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, where he is expected to be elected head of the African Union. He is likely to boast that his deployment of Zimbabwean troops to provide protection at the AFCON is part of his pan-Africanism. In 2010, Mugabe's troops foiled a coup which was being planned by mercenaries to topple Obiang, one of Africa's longest-serving leaders.
Columbus Mafunga, and moving from the politics of Equatorial Guinea to the football that is being played there, the luck of the draw will decide the final quarter-finalist at the African Cup of Nations. Ivory Coast earned its spot from Group D by beating Cameroon 1-0 on Wednesday, but Mali and Guinea drew 1-1 yet again, meaning they cannot be separated in the standings. Instead, the African Football Confederation will today put the names of the two teams into balls and an official will pick one of them. Whichever one is chosen will advance. Now it's time to join the Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there. You've tuned in just in time for Crossroads Generation.
It's turning at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future starts today.
We're in the third season of this ongoing radio series. Last time, we heard Msoto, the father of 18-year-old Mercy, in the courtroom. He was testifying against the wealthy politician Mukaraba in a case of illegal adoption they were both involved in years ago. So things aren't looking good for Mukaraba, but he's not the type to give up easily. Meanwhile, Msoto's daughter Mercy is having trouble with her boyfriend, Nikki Jumbe. Nikki's father was admitted to hospital, and when Mercy wanted to see him, Nikki's mother threw her out of the room.
Just ignore her, Mercy, darling. I love you.
You have a strange way of showing it. I always knew your mother didn't like us being together, and that she hates the fact that I have a child who isn't yours. But I thought that was just her.
When Mercy ran away after that fight, she met Tina, a friend from university.
Hey, Mercy, listen. I'm sorry I was abrupt on the phone last time you called. How about I make it up to you and take you out for a drink tonight? We can drive around in this nice car.
This is a 15th episode called Step on the Brake, and we start off in hospital where Nikki's parents are talking to the doctor.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Jumbe.
Hello, Dr. Roberts.
Mr. Jumbe, I think you can go home soon. But first, I need to ask you a few questions. Have you had any health problems recently?
No, I've just been feeling rather tired.
I see.
Janet, yeah? Please pass me the water again. I'm really thirsty.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do you often feel thirsty, Mr. Jumbe?
Oh, yes. All the time. I guess it's the hot weather.
What about intense hunger pangs?
Well, I certainly like to eat, but I've been trying to lose some weight, so I haven't been eating much lately.
Okay. That could be the reason why you fainted. But I'm afraid there might be something else. Our initial tests show that you may suffer from diabetes.
What?
What? What exactly is diabetes?
It's a disease that disturbs the production of a substance called insulin and the way our body processes it. It's a very important substance because it helps convert energy from the food we eat and transport it to the cells in our body. If it doesn't do the job properly, the energy just stays stuck in our blood in the form of sugar.
But I told you I don't feel ill, just a little tired.
Well, that can be one of the signs. People with diabetes might feel tired or thirsty or have to pee more often than usual, for example. And they often don't take this sign seriously. But it's very important to see a doctor.
I can't believe this.
Don't worry. People with diabetes can and do manage their lives perfectly well. In some cases, a healthy diet and regular exercise are enough to make a difference. Otherwise, there's medication.
So I guess I'll have to go and buy some running shoes first thing tomorrow then, eh?
This is no laughing matter, Jumbe.
Well, it's good to see you cheerful again, Mr. Jumbe. We'll talk about it in detail later.
Okay.
I'd also advise you to go and see the community health workers regularly. They've been specially trained to offer help and support to people with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Oh, here comes your son.
Hi, Dad.
I'll come and see you again later.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
How are you?
Hey, Nikki.
Nikki, do you not even greet your mother anymore?
When will you stop interfering in my life, Mom?
Nikki, you're my son. I only want what's best for you. And that's certainly not this girl, Mercy, who has another man's child.
For your information, Mercy's a very good mother to Linda. And she's a very responsible person. So just shut up, Mom. Shut up, okay?
Nikki, don't you talk to your mother like that.
Wow, Tina. This place is posh.
You haven't seen anything yet, Mercy. It's good that your mother is taking care of Linda so I could take you out.
Hi, Tina.
Hey, you.
Yesterday was fun, babe.
Well, there's more where that came from. All you have to do is give me a buzz.
Will do. See ya.
See ya.
Is that your boyfriend?
You could say so.
What do you mean?
I don't want to discuss it with you, but maybe I can help. I told you all about the trouble I'm having with Nikki. Now you can talk to me about your boyfriend. He's not my boyfriend, okay? Tina, what's wrong?
I just wanted to talk to you. I'm your friend.
I'm sorry. I really could use a friend, actually. But you can't tell anybody about this, okay? Please, especially not Trudy. She'd gossip about it to everyone.
I promise, Tina.
Well, okay. That man is not my boyfriend. He's a client.
So
You work for him? I still don't see... Oh, come on, Marcy. They pay me to have a good time.
What?
You're a call girl?
Shh.
But I mean, how do you... Is this why you haven't been to class much recently? And the car. And... Tina, I think I want to go home. Just try and understand, okay? Let me tell you my story. Then you can go if you want to. All right.
Come in.
Judge Ray?
Yes. How can I help you?
Your Honor, I have a message for you from the Honorable Mkaraba.
What does he want from me?
Well, he told me to give you this envelope.
Okay. Let's see what's inside. Hmm. Money. A lot of money. And what exactly does he expect from me?
He asked me to tell you to go easy on the baby kiss.
What did you say your name was again?
I didn't say my name, sir.
Well then, give this money back to the Honorable Mukaraba and tell him that he will have to come and see me in person if he wants my help.
But Your Honor, you...
He comes himself, or there's nothing I can do.
Thanks for staying and listening, Mercy. That's okay, Tina. Hey, and thanks for the drinks. It turned out to be quite fun in the end.
I had fun too.
But I just can't get what you told me out of my head.
Please, don't tell anyone about it. I really need the money. I told you my parents died and I have to take care of my siblings.
But still...
Hey, Mercy, I promised to teach you how to drive.
Yes.
Well, here we are. And there's no one around.
Wait, I'm afraid. I've never driven before and I feel a bit gypsy.
It's all right if you don't want to. It was just a suggestion.
Do you know what? Let me try.
So, this pedal here is a brake. You step on it gently when you want to stop.
And what's that other one?
This is the accelerator. You step on it when you want the car to move faster.
Okay. I can do that.
Ready?
Ready.
Okay. No, slowly. Yes, like that.
I'm doing it. I'm driving. This is fun. Hey. You are right.
Watch the road. Stay on this side.
Oh, dear.
The brake. The brake. Step on the brake.
And with that, we end our program for today. Be sure to join us next time to find out what's happened to Mercy and Tina and to hear how our other heroes' stories continue. If you want to listen to this or previous episodes again, you can do so on our webpage dw.de/LBE. Take care.
A reminder of our main story, security tops the agenda as African Union leaders converge on Addis Ababa for a summit. And there we end this edition of Africa Link. Do let us know what you think of our programme. You can send a text message to country code 49 160957 59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW. 53110 Bonn, Germany. From me, Mark Caldwell, thank you for listening and bye now.